Motivation is overrated. Today, we're going to talk about what actually helps vet professionals stick with healthy habits like exercise, nutrition, and emotional well-being strategies. And motivation is not the answer. The good news is that elusive sense of motivation isn't needed to succeed. Welcome to the Resilient Vet Podcast, mind-body strategies for success in veterinary medicine. My name is Aaron Shaw. I'm an occupational therapist, strength coach, and I work with vets and vet teams on installing durability systems into their practice. And these systems are made to reduce burnout, improve performance, and ultimately extend the careers of veterinary professionals. And in this podcast, I am lucky enough to have a kick butt co-host, Dr. Jennifer Edwards. Welcome.
Thank you, Aaron. Hi, everybody. I am Dr. Jennifer Edwards. I'm a leadership and executive coach and a former veterinary practice owner. I'm also the founder of the Core Element Leadership Framework. And after more than 25 years in this wonderful profession, I help professionals and leaders with the inner side of leadership, the stress, the overwhelm, the communication, culture, all of those fun parts of being a leader. And I help people to achieve all of that without sacrificing their own well-being. So welcome. Today, we are talking about a great topic, and that is motivation, something that we all love and maybe love to hate as well. So Aaron, you were mentioning that sometimes motivation can be actually, ironically, one of the biggest things that people get wrong when they're trying to get healthier. Now, I was always under the impression that I need motivation to work out and eat well. So my question for you is, why are you saying that people should not depend on motivation?
Yes. Well, I wish motivation was like a switch or a dial that we had, and we could just turn it on and ride the wave of motivation. But motivation is an emotion, right? And we're emotional beings, and it's a roller coaster, being a human being as we are. And we can all relate to this, really thinking about, let's say, one of the best examples is a New Year's resolution. So many of us towards the end of a year will want to tidy up our habits, our health, go to the gym. I mean, it's not a mystery that so many gyms get a big boost at the beginning of the year because everybody's going to sign up and start going to the gym multiple days a week. They're going to, we start to say, on January 1st, I am so motivated. I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week. I'm going to meditate every night for 10 minutes. I'm going to improve my hydration. I'm going to, improve my sleep habits. And people go into the new year kind of ramping up in the weeks leading up to it and are super excited and super motivated. And now we know what the second half of the story happens. We know that within a week or two, three, if you're super powerful and you have a big surge of motivation, what ends up happening is that fades. Motivation goes away. Real life, the challenges of real life get ahead of us. And now the best of intentions that were like reliant on motivation stops. So if you're leaning on motivation for success, you really have a failed plan. So motivation, it does come and go. We're all limited by that. There's not really much we can do about it, but there are workarounds. So we're going to get to these workarounds. But I think the thing to recognize is that being motivated with an idea or with a goal is excellent. But also recognize we have to have systems or something else in place that's going to help us achieve these goals. Because if we just are waiting on waking up every single morning, super stoked and super excited to either go to the gym or to meditate or something like that, we should all know by now that that's a fleeting sensation. So we need something other than motivation to really invest in our own physical and emotional resilience in vet med.
Yeah. I love what you said about the New Year's resolutions. Did you know that actually only about 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions are actually still fulfilling them by the end of that year? So the reason is that when we try to strong arm ourselves into a behavioral change, like just through willpower, motivation, whatever you want to call it, like I'm just going to go to the gym or I'm just going to stop smoking, then what happens is it doesn't last, because if you already could flip a switch and change your behavior, you probably would have done it already. And when we don't do the work to start to understand what's driving our behavior, what's keeping us from doing the things that we say and think that we want to do, in the end, it circles back and we end up with a different version of the same thing. So if sheer motivation is not the answer to eating well, going to the gym, doing all of these things that many of us say we want to do, then what is it then that you would suggest that people focus on to have a better chance of success in these areas?
I would suggest what we would call micro habits, not huge goals, not huge ambitions. We need to, I mean, that stat of 8% success in a New Year's resolution, that is, you could flip that around and say, if 8% succeed, that's 92% that aren't following through. And I would say that a lot of that 92% is trying to rely on that fuel, that motivation as fuel. And so it's, in a sense, it's biting off more than we can chew. So micro habits is the idea of taking a goal. And in this case, let's say a vet professional wants to be, you know, feeling a little bit more physically resilient because they're feeling some aches and pains from the work. Obviously, we understand that the work of vet medicine is a sport of sorts with a whole lot of kneeling and bending and twisting and contorting and restraining. And that takes a physical wear and tear on people. And so if a vet professional said, man, I don't want to get hurt, or I've been hurt and I want to kind of build up some resilience, it's really about starting small, being humble, setting myself up for success. And a good example would be if somebody woke up tomorrow and said, okay, I want to build some physical resilience. So I'm going to plan on going to the gym for 45 minutes tomorrow. I'm going to go to the gym 45 minutes tomorrow and probably try to do that a few days a week. That's kind of more of that's a pretty big goal. If you're not already going to the gym, if you don't already have that, that's a pretty significant lifestyle change, time commitment. A micro goal that is still aligned with this sense of building some physical and emotional resilience would be, I'm going to exercise for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. It's small. I think that for so many people, and certainly a lot of the clients that I end up working with, the idea of that unit of time, like just 10 minutes, like just like, shouldn't I do 30 minutes? Or, I have more time tomorrow, so maybe I'll try just like 35 or 40. That is, again, great motivation, great ambition, but it kind of puts you into that 92% of people that kind of fail because it's just so much. Turn that around. If you can do 10 minutes of a workout tomorrow, that's great. We can call that a win. That is success. Mostly it's you engaging in a very specific activity for a fairly small, manageable amount of time. In doing so, you decrease the risk of being burned out, feeling overwhelmed, and feeling like, oh man, I really pushed through. I went to the gym for 45 minutes the other day. I drove there. I prepped all my stuff. I drove home. And I'm glad I got it done, but now I feel super behind. Like the rest of my world really wasn't designed to have this 2-hour chunk after work. And I'm really pooped out and it's only Tuesday. And so it's great to have that macro goal and really want to do something. But what's more likely to succeed is doing something for 10 minutes today. And then tomorrow, also do it for 10 minutes. A few days after that, also do it for 10 minutes. And I think if we can be humble enough and recognize that these little changes, you're really kind of building, you're building a structure one brick at a time, and it's going to be so much sturdier and increase your risk for success.
That is such a unique viewpoint, and I love it, because as you were talking, what was occurring to me is I was thinking, wow, like, is he actually suggesting that if I do have the motivation that I still don't go to the gym for 45 minutes? And at first I'm like, but wait a minute, but if a person wants to, shouldn't they? And I love that context that you created, because in the moment, because we have the motivation, we think more is better. But what you're actually, what I'm hearing you say is that sometimes more can actually be detrimental, because what we don't recognize is that we don't have the systems, we don't have the context, the support, the framework in our lives set up yet. And so as we add 10 minutes and then 15 minutes and then 20 minutes, it's like more of a building a habit slowly that we can stick to. That's just a really unique perspective. I think it's a lot very different. You know, I feel like a lot of people would say, you know, you don't have to go to the gym for 45 minutes. And if you only do 10, that's okay. But to say, you know, don't go to the gym for 45 minutes in the beginning, like that's really almost like a very empowering context that's very different. And I think I could see where that would set people up for further success long term.
And it's counterintuitive. I recognize that it's counterintuitive, yeah. Especially if you happen to, you know, and I'm not saying if you're motivated not to, you know, push it a little bit, but I think that the evidence is clear on, you know, biting off more than we can chew and having it, you know, and failing and kind of fizzling out. But if you take that ambition and that motivation that you may have now, kind of see if you can pay it forward for tomorrow. Like, go ahead and do 10 minutes tomorrow. Like, show that you can do this mini micro goal consistently. And I can tell you from the coach's standpoint, and I've worked with people all across the spectrum, some people that have never exercised or done a really made a healthy decision ever in their life, and others that have done it for, you know, some variation for decades long. And the biggest challenge for people who are, let's say, really deconditioned or have medical conditions or something where they just haven't been able to stick with something, the biggest challenge isn't really thinking, what are the right exercises? The biggest challenge is, let's create the habit. Versus somebody who's maybe been exercising or eating well or, you know, insert whatever the goal is, they've been addressing this consistently. Maybe they come to me and say, hey, you know, I do something like 15 or 20 minutes a day. I do that 3 or 4 days a week, but I'm not really seeing results. If they're doing that consistently, man, you've already set the groundwork. Like, that's the hard part. The easier part is, like, let's fine tune what you're doing during that. But if you're already showing up for those micro habits, the sky is the limit. It's people jump to that second part before, like, setting up the micro habit part.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So if that's the case, and again, it is counterintuitive, then why is it counterintuitive? Like, why do you see that perhaps we are, I don't want to use the word programmed or raised or, you know, taught to think about that in the opposite? And then when you, perhaps somebody's listening to this right now thinking, no, then I would ask, what is it about this that you think that people, that has people resist starting small with something?
Because it doesn't feel significant as a punchline. It just doesn't feel like it's enough. And if they are catching ambition, motivation, and, you know, sometimes that's even fueled by frustration, like, oh, today's the day I'm going to do that thing. And I'm so frustrated, like, I'm ready to make that change. The idea of saying, great, but pace yourself. When they're like, oh, no, now is the time. I'm going to go to the gym now, or I'm going to, you know, work on my sleep habit right now, and, or, you know, whatever it is. And it is to say, great, but let's kind of be measured about that. Like, that's it. Can't I do more? Like, what else? You know, if you're just starting out, and this is kind of what I talk to my coaching clients about, you know, over time, the gift of being a coach is that we can make anything more challenging. You know, making something harder is pretty easy to do. The hardest part is setting that habit, that micro habit, and going and going. And when you come to me and say, you know what, I'm doing all the things, I think I'm ready to take on more, or I've established this 10 or 15 minute routine, and I've done it not just once or twice, but for a couple of weeks, and I feel like, hey, this is really part of my life now. And I'm finding that I think I can take on another 5 or 10 minutes of something. Great. We can nudge that up after we've established a baseline. And it's resisting overstepping again, like using that emotion of motivation as rocket fuel, it burns hot, but it's finite.
I definitely can see that and how that would make a huge difference in, you know, again, it's not that short term feeling good about what you're doing, but more looking at that long term sustainability and that long term success. So shifting gears a little bit, I've heard you talk in the past about the importance of environment. So, you know, obviously environments affect everything. And in this particular context, I'm curious to hear how you see that the environment plays a role, what you feel the impact is, and what you even mean by environment when you say that.
Yes, I think that the environment has a very real impact on trying to achieve any sort of habit or routine. And specifically, I'm just going to kind of keep on going along this path of a, you know, fitness or movement or some type of physical exercise as the example, because I think we can all kind of relate to that and the need for that. On the one extreme, you could say the night before you go to bed, you set out your gym shoes, your shorts, your shirt, get your bottle of water. You already know what you're going to have for a snack in the morning. And it's as soon as you turn on the light, it's right there in front of you. Or you could have your shoes in a closet down the hall, your shorts, maybe or maybe not in the washer or dryer at the moment. You could have all of these things that that you know you're going to need, but there are environmental barriers to get to them, to engage with them. And so there's a split here. For those of us that are short on time, like we all are, I certainly am short on time, the more efficient I can set up my environment, the things are just like right there where I need them, available to set me up for success. And nutrition is another great one. If you want to eat well, it does take a little bit of time to think, okay, what are three or four things that I want to have in my refrigerator or pantry at all times that are like my healthy go-tos? Because if there's nothing healthy in your refrigerator, when you're hungry after work, you're going to grab whatever happens to be there. Or hit a drive-through because my fridge is empty. But having that, what you want, readily available, the environment is just really screaming for you to say, follow the path. The environment is just sort of taking you on this journey that you've already intentionally set up. So you don't have to rely on willpower. You don't have to rely on motivation because you just have it set up. I'm also a big fan of like leveraging friends as well, friends and family. So if you really want to go for a walk for 15 minutes after work or before work or on a weekend or something like that, get a friend to come along. You get yourself a little accountability buddy. So now the people around you are also very much part of your environment. So having a buddy that expects you to see you at the gym or somebody that's going to somebody's going to show up and knock on your door in 10 minutes, like, hey, we're going for our morning walk. That environmental cue is going to help set us up for success.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as I'm hearing you speak, what I'm thinking about is it's almost like when people talk that, you know, the energy required to overcome inertia versus the energy to keep something in motion. And that's the same thing with us. And, you know, in my focus, you know, everything for me relates back to leadership and self-leadership and energy. That's exactly my framework that I see things. And so what I'm envisioning as you're describing this is when the clothes are there, the shoes are there, the water bottle's all ready to be filled in the morning, it's sitting out on the counter, the energy expenditure required to actually get to the gym is lower than the energy required in the situation you described where everything is scattered and it's like, well, maybe I'll go tomorrow. So yeah, it's an interesting context of how we can lead ourselves so that we actually make things easier for ourselves.
Yeah, this, I say it kind of tongue in cheek with some people, but I say, you know, people ask me about what my routine is. I design it in a sense for success, but also in a way like I can be so lazy because everything is like set out for me and I just sort of show up and do the things that the environment cues me to do. And I'm not, you know, I recognize it's not lazy to exercise, but the there are so many decisions that we have to make all day, every day. And every decision that we have to make, you know, what am I going to wear? Where are my shoes? What's the thing? What am I going to eat? Much less like the clinical decisions that we have to make on the floor. Those are all, you know, units of energy, units of attention that we have to, you know, have to do. And, you know, of course, we've all heard of like decision fatigue. You know, there's for a lot of us that have been on, you know, having really high, you know, cognitive demanding days, there's a point where it's just like, oh, just tell me what to do. Like, what a gift that is, you know? And like a lot of my coaching clients are incredibly smart, very successful people. And some of them are actually know, you know, exercise physiology and a lot of stuff that, you know, aligns with my expertise. And I'll ask them like, you don't want to do this yourself? And so many are just like, I'm just so tired of deciding anything. The more you can help me like set up the environment, and you know, I have a smartphone app, so it's like if I can just press the button, do the thing, my shoes are right there, my food's in the fridge is right there, like everything is so smooth, and save that decision making, that energy to think through things, save that for, you know, the clinic floor. You know, save that for those challenging things. Don't burn it on ways when you can just like you can leverage kind of some of these strategies otherwise.
Yeah. And so, like, so often we talk about how we run on autopilot, you know, and whether it's running on autopilot with reactions or running on autopilot with habits. And so what I'm hearing is that what you're saying is people can actually create new autopilots. So it actually, once that autopilot is established, like for you, you just autopilot your way onto your bike.
Exactly.
Right. So that's something that people, it takes time, but can create. So then I guess the bottom line is it's not about trying harder. It's actually about designing things smarter so that you actually don't have to put as much effort in, correct?
Yeah, in a sense, it's almost like, and this is, again, can be kind of counterintuitive. The effort, of course, is getting started. I mean, we're starting at zero and you need some forward momentum, you know, it's that inertia. Like if you, and this is where like the micro habits, like we talked about, if we can kind of start the flywheel going in a sense, once the habit flywheel is going and once the routine is set up and your environment is set up, the effort is actually much less. And so, you know, when I work with people who are, you know, maybe starting from scratch and like, okay, I'm beat up, I'm tired. There's some things I want to change about my energy level and my body or whatever, and my capacity to do work, it is, and it's harder for them just to even start doing anything than it is for somebody who you look at like is, you know, looks like they're doing a whole bunch of physical exercise and, you know, really active or doing whatever. And it just seems like, wow, that's like a little bit over the top. But what they've already done is that they've already set up their world to where like it's just kind of goes. And so it's actually a little bit less effort. You know, the hardest part and the reality is the hardest part is getting started, which is why this is what this whole episode's about. You know, the hardest part of getting started is just to say, let's be humble. Let's do some micro habits. Let's do some tiny changes, knowing that once things are up and going, you're off to the races.
Yeah. So Aaron, in our last few minutes, what I would love to hear you talk about is a kind of like a combination of like, where does discipline actually play a role here without it being like this, like, you know, militaristic, like harsh, rigid, you know, program that somebody has to force themselves into? And how does that affect somebody when they just have no motivation at all?
Yes, discipline is a spicy word, I guess. It's a word that, yeah, sounds militaristic in a sense, like I think of like boot camp when I think of discipline. But really, discipline is just following through with something even when you don't feel like it. And we all do this already. We've all done this already. If you have a child, if you have a pet, if you have a degree, if you've, you know, probably gone to get groceries, there at times, like there are things like, I don't want to do some of those things, but you do them. You do something like, you know, do you want to get up in the middle of the night when your dog is sick? You know, being motivated, that's not the word that comes to mind, you know, resigned to perhaps, but we do it. even though we don't feel like it. So that that concept is discipline, you know, and it's not, it shouldn't be seen as punishment. And I think that's where I think the word discipline can kind of come across as, you know, almost being like reprimanded or something like that. But it's really, it's about keeping a promise to yourself. And I think this is where, you know, even to rise above the whole concept of motivation with this, it is reflecting long enough to set goals for yourself that have meaning and are really powerful to you, that it's paying it forward to your future self. And I always, when I talk to my clients and when I reflect for myself, you know, like, what am I, what does success look like? And what I'm, the person I'm trying to impress ultimately is my future self. You know, I don't want to look back and say, oh man, I've, you know, I painted myself into a corner. What I want to do is be able to look back, you know, tomorrow, next week, next year, and in 10 years and say, hey, I really kind of did the best I could and I've did all my micro habits and I had a, you know, goals and whatnot. And in order to achieve those things, sometimes it takes discipline. That is like showing up and I'm not bubbling over with motivation. You know, some days the win is you get in a full workout or your sleep habits are perfectly dialed. And some days, not so much. You know, some days it's just getting through, and perfection is definitely not the goal. You know, and perfectionism and vet med is, you know, they sometimes go hand in hand. So perfectionism is not the goal, but it is small steps forward. And even this concept of, so again, like I didn't mention this in the intro, but my background, I'm an occupational therapist and I own my own, you know, physical therapy and performance practice. And I have a lot of clients who, you know, through the years, and myself included, it's like, oh, I don't have time to do the thing that I had planned on doing. I had this workout or this thing I really wanted to do. And one of my strength coaches that I used to have as an employee years ago, he said, yeah, we do workouts that are called BTN. Like BTN, what is that, like a, I'm thinking like, what kind of like, is that like muscle something? Like what does that mean? It's better than nothing. A BTN. And so now, I mean, you know, my wife and I, you know, I try to exercise and do the right things all the time. And sometimes like, hey, how'd that go? It'd be like, BTN, you know, it's better than nothing. And if you, and it's still a win, you know, and it still reflects discipline and it still reflects, you know, probably following along even when you set up your environment for success and you have, you know, a loved one supporting you. Sometimes when there's like zero as far as motivation and time and all these environmental constraints, it's okay to say, I did a little something and it's BTN. It's better than nothing. And that's okay.
Yep. And that honestly applies to a lot of things in life, right? Not just health and fitness.
For sure.
Even our personal growth and learning and the way we approach a conversation, like we might remember halfway through a conversation to bring in some new skill that we're focused on, but it's better than nothing, right? Because the little bits turn into medium bits, turn into larger bits. And the idea that comes to my mind too, as I'm listening to you speak, is something I'm passionate about teaching as well, as this idea of commitment. And, you know, maybe we'll actually do an episode on this. I approach commitment from a little bit of a different context than a lot of people do. And it's really starting to identify what you are committed to versus what you want to be. And so if you're not doing, you know, the things that you want to be doing and you don't have that discipline, it's like, maybe take a look at, well, what am I actually committed to instead of that? Right. So, it's just another little twist on that to, you know, for another day. So this has just been so, so great. If you have, you know, just a couple of bullet points of what you'd like to leave people with, what would your final message be?
I would say the message is kind of like I started off. I think motivation is a little bit overrated. And I think it's, if you are in a situation where you are feeling motivated, that is awesome and lean into it and bottle it up in some sort of way. But the real success happens with small habits that are sustainable for a long period of time, small changes that take a long period of time to really hone in on. And again, when I work with individuals and certainly with teams, with full-on vet teams, vet practices, the runway for change isn't so much, you know, weeks, but sometimes it's months and months and months. You know, like, what's the plan over the next 6 months, 8 months, 12 months? And when you really extend our goals out, it's much more palatable to be okay saying, okay, I'm just going to make tiny changes because we get a long, like, when done well, we get a nice long life. And so let's make these tiny changes, because if we can avoid trying a new exercise routine, for example, for the 20th time on January 2nd, like, let's try to get this right this time. And let's try a different approach. And that different approach for most of us is often just like slowing down a little bit, making good decisions, adjusting your environment. And most importantly, I think that for those of us that need some support, I'm always here for anybody that listens to this episode. If you need a personalized tip, if you need a suggestion, please feel free to email me. My email is info@projectvetspan.com. If you want a suggestion, shoot me a message. If you need a little, cheerleader from the sideline, a virtual cheerleader, I'm happy to do that for you. And for those of you that want to learn a little bit more about all the other things I do, you can also find me at projectvetspan.com.
Awesome. What a great topic, Aaron. Thank you so much. And I just think that for so many people, this idea of micro habits and better than nothing is actually encouraging, a little bit of a relief, right? Like, you're off the hook from having to turn into a gym rat, just take baby steps and realize that, you know what? It's okay. If you don't have a ton of motivation, it doesn't mean you can't do it. So with that, thank you. I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards. You can find me at www.drjenniferedwards.com or at LinkedIn, which is at Dr. Jennifer Edwards. That's doctor with a DR. And if you'd like to have a conversation about how my 6-month Core Element Leadership Coaching Program can help you, please feel free to reach out.
Excellent. All right. We'll see you next time.